News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, immigration is set to be among the major issues in the upcoming general election, and one party hoping to take the lead on the subject is Aonthu, who are set to launch a new immigration policy later on this morning. And Pather Tobin, leader of Aonthu, joins us now. Good morning to you, Pather. First of all, outline for us what's going to be different about the Aonthu policy on immigration as compared to everybody else's.
I suppose Aonthu have been considerably different than all the other political parties on the issue of immigration. Up to a couple of years ago, the other political parties were castigating Aonthu's position, and now many of them are copying Aonthu's position word for word at the moment. Most of the information in the public domain on the issue of immigration has been created by Aonthu. So we found out by our parliamentary questions that, for example, last year there were 1,792 deportation orders made, but only 98 of those were actually enforced. So only 5% of deportations after orders after, you know, many years of the asylum process, trying to work out whether a person needs asylum or not, are actually implemented. We also found out, for example, that, you know, 5,000 people were coming through Dublin Airport without any travel documents, 40% of the total number seeking asylum. Again, you know, other political parties were ignoring that issue. And for many years, you know, we found out that most of the people coming into this state were coming from Britain through the north of Ireland. And, you know, when I asked the Minister for Justice how many are coming through this route, she told us she didn't know. Further than that, she actually said that they weren't asking the question of people coming into the state, how they were coming into the country. So the government have been absolutely asleep at the wheel in terms of this issue for the last number of years. So Aonthu's position has been one, like, looking to see can we help those who are really in need, but making sure that we very quickly and strictly differentiate between those who don't and those who do need to stay. So we're looking for, in this particular policy document, a new border agency. Incredibly, there's less than 100 Gardaí working in the whole area of immigration in this country at the moment, which, you know, is one of the reasons why, you know, only 5% of people who receive deportation orders have actually been removed from this country. We want to see a reinstatement of the planning laws when it comes to asylum accommodation. That's a big difference, I think, between ourselves and the other political parties. We do believe that the planning system is a mechanism where local individuals can have an influence and input into what happens in their community.
Okay, and just to cut across you there for a minute, there's a lot in what you're saying. But let's specifically look at the planning thing. If we go back to the previous way of planning, and therefore you have to apply for planning, it will take a long time. There will be objections, because we can see there's already objections in communities, so there will certainly be objections to planning. And if, for example, planning is held up, will that not just result, Pather, that we will see more people in tents along the canals, we'll see more people in tents in sort of large, sort of sprawling, tented accommodation centres? Is that not what we will end up with from that position that you're taking?
Currently, the government has created a system where they're going into conflict with many communities. And that conflict, by its very nature, is actually slowing down the system. So you have Coolock is the prime example of that. So Coolock was supposed to be organized last March to provide accommodation. But because the government literally refused to consult with local communities, put themselves at odds with local communities, they found themselves in this conflict. So we had a democratic process called the planning system, not where people could veto a development.
So are you saying no to a community veto, or are you saying yes to it?
Well, I'm just saying reinstall the planning process, and that allows each application to be decided on logical planning grounds, on whether there's enough capacity, enough transportation systems, enough schools, enough of the elements that are necessary to sustain that particular development.
I don't know if you're saying yes or no to a veto.
No, I'm saying no to a veto at this moment in time. I'm saying reinstall the planning process, and at least give communities a say over what happens. But I will say this. I think the government have been pigheaded in terms of consultation with local communities. Like, the government is not consulting at all with local communities, and I do believe that is one of the most significant grievances that communities have in terms of their anger at the government's approach. The government is saying to local communities, we do not trust you to consult with you, and we won't. And actually, if the government got their act together, they could actually bring communities with them and listen to them, and at some cases,
and
actually
Pather,
say, no, the community's right in this situation.
Will accuse you, and I think they have accused you in the past of dog whistling to the far right with these policies. What do you say to that?
Well, it's absolutely nonsense. It is perfectly reasonable in a democratic republic for citizens to be able to, have a say over who comes into the country and who doesn't. We want a system that does actually allow for support to be given to those who really need it. But there's no doubt in my mind that we need a system that actually quickly and strictly differentiates so that those who don't need help are actually removed from the country. And that's one of our other policies here, is that if a person fails the asylum process, there will be, that deportation order will be enforced. It won't be a situation where the government has a voluntary deportation system where they don't know if the person has left the country or not.
And Padraig, if it was to result in things like mass deportations, you know, with this idea of having commercial flights or chartered flights, etc., hired by the government in order to do this, would you support that?
Well, see, the difficulty I have here is, the government is spending hundreds of millions of euros on a process, a long, arduous process, taking many years to actually find out whether a person is fleeing war or violence or not. And at the end of that really expensive process, for the majority of people, the actual, whether they are successful or they fail, the outcome is exactly the same. Now, that's an intolerable situation. You cannot spend hundreds of millions of euros trying to differentiate between those who need help and those who don't. And those who don't have exactly the same output. They stay in the country as those who need help. And actually, that's putting significant pressure, not just in resources in terms of housing and healthcare and education for the indigenous population. It's actually taking resources away from those who are coming into the country who really do need help as well. And that's a really important issue for us. So, other issues is just travel documents. Just finally, if I can, travel documents. You know, if a person destroys a travel document, they should not be allowed leave in the country either. A person should not be able to make it more difficult for the system to be able to work out whether an individual needs help or not.
All right, look, Padraig, thank you very much for joining us this morning on all of that. That is Padraig Tobin, their leader of Aintu.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.